The lesson we're going to be sharing shortly is one that's very interesting. It's about your commitment to Jesus Christ, and it's got some positive sides, and it's got some negative sides to it. In fact, sometimes it's pretty scary. And I think when the choir sang, "Great is thy faithfulness," that was a reminder in this lesson particularly, how challenging really our faith is and what it's all about. And I can remember church conference last century, long time ago, there was a minister, Dr. J. Davis Illingworth, who was a magnificent preacher. And he was always in charge of the Vespers that we had at conference. And everybody jokingly called him Uncle Davy. And he said, "Don't ever think about going into the ministry, because the ministry is going to be one that will take you to the cross." And my gosh, everybody went, "Whoa, don't want to go there." But then, you know, there were some characters in the group. No names mentioned. Who just sort of thought, "Boy, that's good acting." And in my mind, being one of the characters, the ministers who were there at the conference were having such a good time. How could you not want to follow Jesus Christ if you were having such a good time? And that was in my mind. And when I went home from that conference and told my dad, "You know, I think I want to go into the ministry," and he just went, "Oh." I won't say what he said. Following Christ is a challenge. Committing your life to Christ is a lot of work. And there is suffering involved. There really is. I can't say personally that I've suffered tremendously over the years, but I want to tell you the challenges of the ministry are just as foreboding for the person in the pew as it is for the person who makes up the pulpits of this land. I believe it. Open your Bibles. During this season of peace, this scripture is a good reminder to all of us, to everyone all the time. Because when we look at Mark, the 8th chapter, verses 27 through 38, you're seeing two subtitles in your Bible: Peter's confession of Christ and Jesus predicting his death. Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. And still others, one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Christ." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at the disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes to his Father's glory with the holy angels. Amen. How do we take this and distinguish what it means to lose your life for Jesus Christ? How do we take this scripture? For one thing, this losing your life for Jesus implies an act of the will, that you're going to be wanting to do it. And we hear it all the time. People say, well, he gave his life for Jesus. And I know some people who didn't. And they were given this wonderful honor, at least by someone else. Notice how Jesus returns again and again to the imperative in this passage. Again and again, he comes over with the idea, deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me. He does it over and over again. This is not a case of what we would call decision theology. It's not. Or calling upon the sinner to make a choice for Jesus. Have you given yourself to Jesus Christ? And someone says, yeah, I have. It's not this. Jesus is calling upon the redeemed. The people who already believe, the people who say, you really are Christ, you are my Savior, you are my Redeemer. He's calling on these people to follow, telling them where the direction will lead. Our choice then becomes Jesus Christ has set us free to make the choice. We're free. We can either follow him or not. We can acknowledge him or not. It doesn't matter, according to Jesus, because there's only one way. Another truth comes from Jesus Christ in this scripture. If you choose to lose your life for Christ, you gain something. You gain something. A completeness, a wholeness. That second truth is wonderful in this scripture. He promises that to lose your life for his sake will lead you to a deeper sense of what life and yourself is all about. Taking up your cross and losing your life for Christ is not suffering just for the sake of suffering. It's a reaffirming that faith that leads to your redemption, that leads to the depth of character and soul that make up what we really are. This is all Jesus makes in this lesson. This is all that he's talking about. Do you realize your wholeness? Do you realize how wonderful you are if you accept Christ as your Savior? Do you realize what it involves? Practically, this is a call to action. It's something the church likes to put off, regardless of the name on the door. I don't want to get too involved for Jesus. I mean, I don't want to get too involved for the church. I heard someone tell me this. Oh, when I was younger, I was involved in the church, but then it got to be too heavy, and I decided not to do it anymore. But I go Easter and Christmas. I'm faithful. I'm faithful. It's the whole in between, you see. Sunday doesn't save your soul one drop, but the rest of the week does. Sunday's a refresher course for your soul to get through the week. That's what it's all about. Deny yourself. Deny yourself. Think about the choices we make with our time and our talents. Think about the choices we make with our money and our spending habits. Think about the things that we say are burdens and we say they're crosses we carry. Well, everyone has to carry a cross. Well, not everybody. Some's more weighty than others. Ultimately, these words of Jesus Christ are matters of the soul. Because it's out of the soul that the good actions for Jesus Christ really begin. Not your mind, not your habit, not your tradition, not your family teaching. But out of you and your whole being, which is the soul, the whole being. Not about life sitting idly by, but one that tries to be productive and share and help and love. Being with Jesus Christ means a decision to offer yourself for the very things for which Jesus offered Himself. That's the cross, by the way. That's the cross that He's talking about. The disciples really didn't understand it yet. They didn't understand it yet. Tell no one what I'm telling you. And He's doing it for a reason. They didn't understand. And He knew it. Okay. Boy, that's an exclamation point, isn't it? I love that. And so Jesus very nicely says, deny yourself. Deny yourself. Deny your wants and your needs and take up your cross. Take up the pain of life. Take up the agonies that you think are too much. Take up the things that weigh you down. Take up the chance to offer a witness to someone for Christ. The good news. Take up that kind of a cross. Follow me. These are not words meant to help us accept the things we cannot change. These are words to give us encouragement and hope and a challenge. The things we can do, the things we can accomplish, even in our own hearts, become more like that crucified Christ that He talks about. The disciples weren't sure of that, you see. They weren't even sure when it happened. But Jesus was just giving them a note to let them know this is what it's all about. And it's the same note that we're talking about this morning here at McLeod. Deny yourself, take up your cross, learn from me. Live life fully. Live life openly. Share your love and share your laughter and share your joy of the risen Christ. And there is a joy. And so we gather again around the table. on a Sunday that we reaffirm peace. But it's not that big peace that we talked about before. It's the peace that comes from that bread and cup for you. Would the elders join me at the table? God, our Father, we ask your blessing on this table. It's very common, the bread, the cup. Blessed be those who share, because this is indeed your blessing, setting it apart from common to sacred. The brokenness of our Lord, the emptying of his life for us. Give us your refreshment in Christ. Amen.